Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to you one and all. Announcements, I think, are in the bulletin. Just want to highlight a couple of things. Please sign up for Meals on Wheels. The sign-up sheet is on the table in the fellowship hall. Also, this week we have a full schedule with confirmation, soup supper at 6 o'clock, and it's here, and the Lent service is here. And we, this week, Tom Snowclaw will be interviewing two distinguished ears on our fourth presentation of the healing power of the cross, the healing of hearing. There are a number of people who have announcements. Lois, you want to give yours quick?
Okay, I'll give it quick. The celebration committee ordered window stickers, and they're on the table in there. They're beautiful. Pick up one or two, and if you care to donate toward the stickers, you can put it in the jug. And whatever is up and above the cost will go into the fund. And also, check your mailboxes because the no-bake bake sale information is in your mailbox. And the ladies are going to be quilting every Wednesday now through April. We're trying to get some of our quilts tied up so we can send to the people in Nebraska and Lutheran World Relief and the people who've been affected by the floods.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. John. Pastor John.
I went with Pastor Larry yesterday. Well, actually, Nancy and Sue and I did to the meeting at Thermopolis. And both of the bishops were there. This was for pastors and lay people. So Bishop Eaton was there, who is the head bishop over the whole ELCA. And Bishop Goyne was there, who is our bishop for the Rocky Mountain Synod. And we had time to just chat, so I felt very privileged to be able to visit with the bishops as well as other pastors. A few of them I still knew. There's a lot of change since I retired and the changes have happened in our Wyoming conference. But we had some chances for small group and large group. And I visited with Bishop Goyne a little bit, and I told her, I says, I don't appreciate all the church statements that we come out with. And she said later, well, you need to realize they come from different synods within. We have 65 synods. She says, I don't just sit up in that office that I have and come up with these, but rather they come up through the whole ELCA. I thought, well, I hadn't thought about that before. And so I thought, I need to give you a little slack on that then. But then I told her one thing I was really unhappy about was the pipeline. And she kind of said, we need to stand by our brothers and sisters, our Native American brothers and sisters. And I said, I think you really got taken on that. And she says, well, you know, I went and visit with some of the ranchers afterwards. And she says, I was taken in by that. She says, they told me another side of it. And so, but I told her, like, when I served in the South Dakota Synod, we had a Lutheran Indian Relations Commission, and we walked alongside of the Indian people. And we didn't go in saying, now here's what you need to do. Here's the solution to your problems. But we worked with them on that. She said, I never heard of that before. She said, that's really great. And so I found it to be a really good time. And I thought, here she took 4 days out of her schedule to come to one of 65 synods, meet with the Wyoming Conference, which is a small part of this, and spend 4 days there, both bishops. So I was really impressed that she would take that kind of time, because I think most of us think we're really not very important since we live out here in Wyoming, and you know, three-fourths of our synod is in Colorado. So I was impressed with her, and impressed with Bishop Pena. They do the jobs they're called to, and I told people I'd love to be a bishop as long as I do the work of a bishop. You know, they go to these meetings. She had a cold, and she wasn't really feeling that good. But it was really good to meet them and spend time with them. And so I just wanted to tell you a little bit of what happened there, and I thought it was great, and I appreciate Larry inviting us to go along. And if you have any questions about that meeting, I'll be at coffee afterwards, and we'll talk some more about it.
Okay. It was really a fantastic opportunity to get to know the presiding bishop of the whole ELCA. Found out she's very human, like us. Other announcements? Yes?
Don't forget our Bible study on Thursday. It's very enlightening. I really enjoyed
okay,
it.
Okay, great. Bible study at 7 p.m. in the evening here, but at 10 a.m. at Union Congregational. So, y'all come. If there are no other announcements, we will continue by... we're using the fourth setting of the Red Book. And I will try to give you page numbers because I realized I didn't... I put my bulletin together so that I've got everything written out for me. But I didn't realize that in the fourth setting, it doesn't give you a whole lot. And you have to read that little small print that tells you where to go. So we're going to try to fix that today. The fourth setting, the confession and forgiveness, is on page 95 in the front of the Red Book. And the page 45, most of you probably know this by heart, but please stand as you are able. Again, page 95, if you're looking for that. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
When I survey that wondrous cross, 803, hymn number 803.
Rich.
page 147 in the Sun System Book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
A leader and commander for the peoples, See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 63 responsibly. O God, you are my God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your steadfast love is better than life itself, my lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name.
My spirit is content as with the richest of foods, and my breath and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the night watches.
And you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice.
My whole being clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast.
The second reading is from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul uses images from Hebrew story and to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. He is our rock, our water, our food, and our drink. Christ is the living sign of God's faithfulness. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occur as examples for us, so that we may not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink as they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, and do not complain as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you, that it is common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but will the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. Then he told them a parable. A man had a fig tree planted on his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? He replied, Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite the children to come up. Well, you guys probably know what this is. Hi, come on up. Do you know what this says? Do not enter. What happens if you do? You ever see a sign like that? Should you just go in there anyway? No, it might be dangerous. In fact, there, it looks like there are some flames there, doesn't it? Well, what about this one? Do you ever see this sign somewhere? What's it saying? You might slip because they're, what are they doing? They're mopping the floor. And if you walk on that, you could fall. Well, how about this one? Stop sign. Should you just look at it and go?
No.
What do you need to do?
Stop.
What happens if you don't? You could go to jail. Yeah. Could go to jail. Or somebody might hit you. Right? Let's see. Here's another one. What's this one?
Slow down.
A slow down sign, isn't it? A caution. Be careful. And let's see, I've got a couple more. Oh, yeah. Here's one. There's a turn in the road, right? Yeah. Well, what if you took, have one of those and you had a sign like this? What's that say?
Wrong way.
Wrong way. Should you go that way anyway?
No.
No.
Well, that could be a dead end.
That could be a dead end. That's true. And all of these signs tell us how we should act. And sometimes people don't listen to the signs. But this one here, wrong way, is kind of like the word sin. When we are sinning, we are going the wrong way. We're doing the wrong thing, right? And how do we fix that? God take our sins away. Should we go the right way?
Yeah.
In fact, what we should do is take that curve and go the opposite way then, right? That's what the word repent, it's a big word, means, to turn around and go the other way. So we'll give God thanks for all of the signs around us that tell us which way we should go, shall we? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the signs that help us know which way we should go and which way we shouldn't. Help us learn all of the other signs that you give us that remind us which way you want us to go. Amen. Thank you. There are sometimes during a week that people say something or do something and they remind me of something. You know, it's kind of like one of those things that accumulates. I'm thinking of one thing and all at once somebody says something and I'm thinking of another thing and all at once they start adding up. And somebody said something this week that reminded me of a poem that I thought I'd share with you. It was a poem that was done by Walter Brennan. And he says, "The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The hands on the clock keep going around. I just get up and it's time to sit down. Life gets tedious, don't it? My shoe's untied, but I don't care. I ain't figuring on going nowhere. Why, I'd have to wash and comb my hair, and that'd be a just wasted effort. Water in the well is getting lower and lower. Can't take a bath for 6 months more. But I heard it said, and it's true, I'm sure, that too much bathing will weaken you. Open the door, and the flies come in. Close the door, and I'm sweating again. Just one darn thing after another. The tin roof's leaking and the chimney leans. There's a hole in the seat of my old blue jeans. And I ate the last of the pork and beans. Just can't depend on nothing. Cow's gone dry and the hens won't lay. Fish quit biting and it's Saturday. Troubles are piling up day by day and now I'm getting dandruff. Grief and misery, pains and woes, debts and taxes, so it goes. I think I'm getting a cold in my nose. Life gets tedious, don't it?" Kind of reminds you of the gloomy preacher who writes Ecclesiastes, who said that so much of life is just a chasing after the wind. There's nothing good under the sun. Now, if we live with that philosophy, we're pretty well doomed. But there's always a question, and most people who go to church regularly have this question about maybe why doesn't God speak to me like he spoke to, say, Adam and Eve? Why doesn't he speak to me like he spoke to Noah, telling him to build the ark? Why doesn't he speak to me like he did Abraham in telling him to leave the land he was at and go to another land? That he was going to make him the father of many nations. Why doesn't God speak to me like he did with Moses, speaking in that burning bush? Keith Muller was a man who was an industrialist, made quite a lot of money. And as he was getting on in years and getting ready to retire, he was concerned about that very question. He was wondering, he had been a regular churchgoer, but God never spoke to him. You know, all the years he'd been to church and Sunday school, God never talked to him. So he decided, since he could afford it, he would go to some of the places where God spoke to people and see if he would hear God speak. So he flew off to the Sinai and went up on Mount Sinai. Now, I've been to the base of Mount Sinai. I didn't climb up there. You have to leave at 2 a.m. in the morning in order to get up there for the sunrise. But he did that. And he sat up there and he watched the sunrise and he said, well, it was okay. There wasn't anything special about it. I mean, he'd seen better sunsets in Wyoming. Sunrises in Wyoming. So what was the big deal there? And he sat there and while and listened and didn't hear God speak. So he went to Jerusalem and he went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where they have a place they say is where the Golgotha was at one time, the place of the crucifixion. And he thought, well, surely God will speak to me there. But he was really disappointed because, oh, there were a bunch of tourists. They were noisy and they were all trying to crowd in to see what he was seeing. And there was this gaudy decorations. all these lanterns and lamps, and he was so disgusted, he just left there. And he went to the garden tomb, which they will admit probably was not the garden tomb in which Jesus was buried, but he sat there, and it was nice and peaceful and quiet. But he couldn't hear God speaking there either. Finally, he decided, well, maybe if I went to Rome, I could go to the place where they said that Peter was executed. And maybe God would speak to me like he did to Peter. But God didn't speak to him there either. Again, he was kind of offended by all the souvenir sellers and all of the things that were going on there. So he decided, he was a good Lutheran, he was going to go to Wittenberg. That's where Luther heard God speaking, and he knew God would speak to him there. But once again, he sat there for the longest time, didn't hear a word. Then he thought, well, maybe Wesley was right. So he went to Aldersgate in England, where Wesley said that his heart had this strange, warm sensation. Once again, it was just a waste. So when he got back, he went to church the next Sunday, and he was sitting in the back of the church wondering whether he ought to just chuck the whole thing. It's a waste of time. God doesn't speak to anybody. God doesn't speak to me. And that particular Sunday, they read the second lesson we read today. And all at once, something started to click. Paul writes to the Corinthians that the Israelites were all under the same cloud. This is the cloud under which all of the firstborn of the Egyptians died. And the Israelites were free. All passed through the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. But God was not pleased with all of them. And as he thought about it, in fact, he blocked out the rest of the service because his mind is thinking about, why was God so unhappy with these people? And then it dawned on him that among the Israelites, if you read what happened after they left and entered the wilderness, a spirit of contention and negativity entered into them. We had it so much better as slaves in Egypt. Why, if we just went back, we could have all the onions and leeks and all the good stuff to eat again, and the melons. If we just went back to the past, we could have it all again. And then he realized, you know, the spirit of negativity can just totally destroy people. It can destroy churches. And it can destroy us. And lead us in a direction that takes us away from even listening to God. Because Muller discovered that God speaks through all of these things. God's been speaking to you today. He's spoken to you through the reading of the Word. He's speaking to you through the preaching of the Word. He's speaking to you through the singing of the Word. He's speaking to you through the person next to you. He's speaking through every opportunity he has if we will but listen. Because, you see, he was speaking to the Israelites all of the time. But they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Now, like Muller, we could throw up our hands and say, well, it's such a waste. But look at the words of Jesus. Jesus gives us new hope. But what he reminds us is, that those people who died in Siloam and all the other places were no worse sinners than we are. The people who died from the floods, the people who died from terrorist acts, all those people were no worse sinners than we are. But there is hope. And he tells the story. For those of you who are gardeners, you probably appreciated his little parable about the fig tree. Have you ever had a tree that did not produce fruit? Most of us have had one like that. Some of you may be familiar with the name Jerry Baker. Anybody? I'm the only one. Oh, there we go. Jerry Baker had a TV show, and he used to use the strangest, oddest concoctions to bring a lawn back to life or to bring plants back to life and make them really thrive. And in the parable, the gardener, who is Jesus, says, don't dig up this fig tree. There's hope for it. Jesus just holds on to us as that fig tree. And he wants life in it. And he wants it to produce fruit. And he doesn't want it destroyed. And he says, I'll take care of fertilizing it and making it grow more. Jerry Baker says if he has a tree like that, he takes a wadded up bunch of newspapers and he goes out there and he spanks the tree. And it brings new life to it. And I read another. I know it sounds strange. First time I heard that, it was the craziest thing I've heard of. But who knows? I guess there is a logic to it. It stimulates the flow of juices in the tree. But that's another subject all by itself. I'm off the subject. But anyway, sort of off the subject, because another person who took care of things like that had trees that weren't producing, and they asked, well, what do you do after a couple of years? You can spank it and do whatever you want. He says, I take a chain and I scar it. And he says, I've never had a tree yet fail to produce fruit after we did that. The good news is that Jesus took the scars for us on the cross. You see, he wants us in his kingdom so bad. He wants us to give up the negativity and all the things that lead us astray, because he wants us to produce fruit in his kingdom. And my friends, that's the best news of all. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. The hymn of the day is hymn number 652, Built on a Rock, the Church Does Stand.
Steeples God who dwells in heaven above deigns to abide with us in love, making our bodies his temple. Christ builds a house of living stones. We are his own habitation. Our hearts, his humble thrones, granting us life and salvation. Where two or three will seek his face, he in their midst will show his grace, blessings upon them bestow. In this house and earthly frame, Jesus the children is blessing. Hither we come to praise his name, faith in our Savior confessing. Jesus to us his Spirit sent, making with us his covenant, granting his children the kingdom. Through all the passing years, O Lord, grant that when church bells are ringing, many may come to hear your word.
I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before and after the prayers, we will sing, "Lord, Listen to Your Children," and it's printed in your bulletin. Trouble here. Holy God, build up the body of Christ and cause the gifts of your Spirit to grow among us. Lead us to recognize your saving work through the spiritual practices you encourage. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Water the earth with gentle rains and melting snow. Provide clean water for drinking, washing, and nourishing plants that will bear fruit for your creatures. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Uphold people who speak your righteousness in the face of religious and political persecution. Receive martyrs like Oscar Ronald Romero, whom we commemorate today, into your everlasting peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Provide relief and suffering for those in pain, especially
Daniel and Mary,
the people of Nebraska.
Our church bishops.
And those we name in our hearts. Grant wisdom to healthcare workers who seek to diagnose ailments and bring healing to patients. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Promote unity within your church and among the nations. Uncover the common threads in our shared humanity and keep us from making hasty judgments about others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Knit together the communion of saints and bind us to Christ. Through the diversity of gifts present in our community, help us to overcome our limitations and increase our understanding of ourselves and others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reveal your will as you receive our prayers. Conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, listen to your children pray.
Thank you.
M692 is the offertory. M692.
Drive the nails in him that rugged cross. Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
With this bread and cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life, as we proclaim the mystery of Christ of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up to share the body of Christ for the world. Breathe a new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all creatures, with the sun, the moon, the stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Given for you. The blood of Christ. given and shed for you. The blood of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ given for you. This is grape juice in the middle. The blood of Christ given and shed for you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be thou my vision, hymn number 793.
Thank you.
Let's go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pastor Larry?
Yes.
I have one announcement.
Okay.
It's Pastor Larry's birthday. So I think.
Yes, yes, yeah.
We almost got it. Wait, wait.
Almost.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God loves you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you all.
Speech.
That was earlier, Loretta? But that was earlier.
I don't know, you just had a 20-minute speech. What do you want?